I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
I think you can be safe and outdoors. I think that's totally possible. It just takes some creativity.
That's a big thing that needs to happen more now, is just, you know, increased mindfulness of how we're moving through the world.
Definitely lead by example and, you know, really try to understand and be empathetic with our overall public health objective.
It's definitely not going to be a linear process, and I think we're really in it for the long haul. So we need to get comfortable with communication, with figuring out our personal ethics, figuring out our community standards, and living up to those.
A lot of us here in the United States look back at the middle of March as a pivot point for when life changed. The COVID-19 pandemic had already hit, and if cities and states hadn't been taking it seriously before, they were forced to then. If you live here, you probably already know this story and that it doesn't have an ending yet. But all along, as states and cities went under lockdown, as restaurants and shops closed, as group gatherings were limited and non-essential workers were asked to stay put for the public good, the Center for Disease Control, or CDC, said it was okay to get outside. The media followed with guides for outdoor workouts and tips for getting into hiking. On Instagram, I started seeing memes boasting that the outdoors wasn't canceled. In certain ways, it felt like spending time outside was the only thing that we could do. But we quickly learned that the outdoors doesn't exist in a vacuum. There's no guarantee of solitude, and the most remote places aren't easy to get to. Near where I live in New Hampshire, local parks and playgrounds closed due to overcrowding. After a warm, sunny weekend in April, people flocked to the beaches, laying out in towels and basking in the sun. In certain ways, it seemed like the most natural thing in the world. But the next week, beaches along the coast of New England closed for all recreation. Overall, the message was confusing. We'd abused the privilege of the outdoors, but it was partially because we didn't really know the rules, and what little rules we had were changing all the time. Today, it's the end of May, and we're heading into summer. Parks and trails and beaches around the U.S. are starting to open up again. I can't help but feel like we're holding a fragile bird in our collective hands, waiting for the right moment for it to take flight. As hikers, paddlers, climbers, runners, we crave time outside. And we also have a responsibility to do so in a way that respects the health of others and ourselves, as well as the land that we're on. On this episode, we hear from four women who can help guide us in the right direction as we step out into this strange, familiar world. We'll dig in after this.
Salomon is committed to making functional and beautiful products for running, hiking, skiing, and however else you like to get out to play. And this year, Salomon is celebrating all the ways women experience their own inherent beauty. We are excited to join Salomon in their WMN campaign by introducing you to some of their ambassadors who are defining beauty for themselves. I'm Tori Duhame, the sponsored content producer for Ravel Media. Join me later in the episode when I talk with Laura Borchewski, host of our sister podcast, Women on the Road, about where she is finding her own beauty. Learn more about Salomon's wide range of shoes and apparel at salomon.com. That's Salomon.com.
So we got out there, I think it was like 12:30, so heat of the day. And, you know, our big concern was making sure we had our masks, our sanitizer, and all of that sort of thing. So we kind of were a little less prepared for the actual hike.
This is my twin sister, Laura. She and her fiancé have had a lot of indoor together time over the last 2 months. So they decided to get out for a hike in the Blue Hills near their apartment in Boston. It was 75 and sunny, a perfect day, really. And they weren't the only people who had that idea at 12:30 on a Thursday.
I thought to myself while we were walking that I probably had more people pass me than when I go on a walk in the city. Right now, I would say about a quarter of the people had no form of mask, maybe more.
Unsurprisingly, it was different than a normal hike. More anxiety, more uncertainty. A lot like the world that we're living in today.
With the amount of people that were walking past, you had to be a lot more vigilant than usual, I would say. we had some people, you know, that were passing us in more narrow parts of the forest and the trail and everything that didn't have masks on. And it was kind of this uncomfortable situation. We would kind of turn our bodies away and our faces and bodies from those people. But you couldn't just step into the woods like you might like want to. Like, you can't get 6 feet of birth from people. So it's like sometimes it's not possible to be as safe as you could be.
She didn't want to go off trail because she'd forgotten bug spray and she was worried about ticks. Not to mention, staying on trail is a tenet of Leave No Trace. There's a lot of factors that go into it, and it kind of turns my brain into a pretzel.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All around the country, we're balancing risk and reward, as well as using our best judgment to put guidance into practice.
It was very much needed, and we felt better afterward. I feel like we felt accomplished and a little bit courageous, which is maybe silly, but we did.
I know it's naive, but I like to think that we're all doing the best we can with the information we have. And I wanted to share the information I have with you all by talking with experts to get a better handle on the basics. Before we get started, I want to acknowledge a few inherent limitations to this episode. First, guidance for outdoor recreation is very likely to change. As cool as it would be, none of the interviewees nor myself are clairvoyant. We don't know the future of this virus or if or when a vaccine will be developed. There's a chance that it could never go away. So it's good for us all to prepare and act accordingly. Second, all you wonderful listeners live in different parts of the U.S. and around the world. You do lots of different outdoor activities. Odds are that these recommendations aren't a one-size-fits-all, and that's okay. In a lot of ways, this episode and this community is built on trust. I trust you to make good decisions and to apply critical thinking skills to this guidance and to do more research on your own. I trust you to look out for others. Third, we're going to focus on outdoor rec best practices, not travel or car camping or dispersed camping. Our sister show, Women on the Road, will cover the latter on Friday, so make sure to subscribe and tune in. Finally, I and the women who are joining me on the show are fallible humans. There's a certain vulnerability in showing up for this conversation, and I'm deeply grateful to them for that. So who's here to help us?
My full name is Favia Dubik, and I am a resident pathologist, soon to be a fellow.
Favia has been on what she calls COVID duty over the last 2 months, answering clinician questions about the virus from her home near Albuquerque, New Mexico. She's also an avid climber and a cancer survivor who's at high risk for COVID. All of Favia's advice for us will be research-driven. She's explained to me that there's been an unprecedented amount of research done about COVID-19 in a short period of time, but it's not all reliable.
And with all of the various papers out, you have to be very careful about, are they peer-reviewed or are they not peer-reviewed? I've read some news articles that are quoting not peer-reviewed studies. And in medicine, we try to only make practice decisions based on peer-reviewed studies.
Angela Howe, I'm the legal director for Surf Rider Foundation.
Founded in 1984, Surf Rider Foundation is dedicated to the protection and enjoyment of our ocean, waves, and beaches.
So we started with a hashtag of stay home, shred later. Stay at home and, you know, stay around your neighborhood, around your block or whatever. And let's all surf after we flatten the curve or go to the beach. And then we transitioned that hashtag just a few weeks ago in May to stay home, shred safely.
Surfrider has been a leading voice in compiling and providing expert guidance on beach recreation during the pandemic.
My name is Nadia Iris Mercado, and I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for 4.5 years, and right now I work at the emergency department in my local hospital.
Mm-hmm. And things have been pretty busy there.
Yes. Contrary to popular belief, I think a lot of folks think that the hospitals have been at an all-time low. As of a couple weeks ago, the hospital that I work at has been up to full capacity.
Nadia is a North Carolina-based outdoor lover who's been treating COVID-19 patients in the ER. She's made the personal decision not to hike or climb because she doesn't want to put anyone at risk in case she's an asymptomatic carrier. And last but not least is Katie Bouet, founder of the Outdoor Advocacy Project.
I think that nuance and the situational nature of this whole, can we get back outside? How do we do this? You know, it's different for every place. It's different for by state, by county. And what we've really been lacking is this cohesive, authoritative message from, you know, outdoor leaders on what outdoor recreation looks like for us right now.
Katie chatted with my teammate Laura Borchevsky about Recreate Responsibly, a campaign she worked on with a coalition of leaders from Outdoor Alliance, Outdoor Industry Association, REI, and Land Managers of Washington State. It launched before Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, well, and responsibly to me is such a key word in that because it feels like right now that looks different for everybody, which is probably frustrating or at least confusing for folks because it's like, okay, well, what's responsible for you might not be responsible for me. So how did you all get together and kind of factor that in that, you know, everything's still pretty dynamic around the country, let alone outside the country, but around the country?
These six guidelines that were chosen really reflect something that every single outdoorist can apply to the way that they make decisions in getting outside right now, and making sure that we do that in a way that not only protects ourselves and protects others, but that upholds these outdoor ethics that we've had all along. Right now, we're seeing so many people getting outside, which is a beautiful thing. You know, we've had conversations in the past about how important it is to get people outside, to be supporting outdoor recreation economies. But at the same time, we really have to make sure that we are upholding things like leave no trace, remembering user-to-user courtesy, and we're using this campaign as a way to kind of adapt to the new normal and also reiterate these foundational values that the outdoor community has.
The six guidelines of Recreate Responsibly are such a great foundation for this episode. Here's Katie sharing them.
Number one, know before you go. Check the status of a place if you want to visit. If it's closed, don't go. If it's crowded, have a plan B. The second is plan ahead. Prepare for facilities to be closed, pack a lunch, bring essentials like hand sanitizer and a face covering. Number three, stay close to home. This is not the time to travel long distances to recreate. Most places are only open for day use. Number four, practice physical distancing. Adventure only with your immediate household. Be prepared to cover your nose and mouth and give others space. If you're sick, stay home. Number five, play it safe. Slow down and choose lower risk activities to reduce your risk of injury. Search and rescue operations and healthcare resources are both strained right now. And the sixth, leave no trace. Respect public lands and communities and take your garbage with you.
Keep these guidelines in the back of your mind throughout this episode and learn more at recreateresponsibly.org. So you might be listening to this and thinking, is outdoor recreation really safe? Are we moving too fast to open up parks, forests, and beaches? It really depends on our behavior. I asked Favia, the pathology resident in New Mexico, what she might tell someone who's anxious about going out for a hike.
My best advice is that the outdoors is much safer than being indoors with a large group of people. So, you know, if you're going grocery shopping or into these stores, because that's a necessity, like I see the outdoors as a necessity too, but it's safer because there's wind and there's not like air conditioning, you know, air being recycled inside of a small place. If that helps at all, that the outdoors is generally safer than being indoors with a group of people. And then just do research, like when look for the most unpopular crags or the most unpopular hikes, like the ones that are really difficult or have the worst views. That's what I've been doing.
I just love the idea of Googling like hikes with the worst views.
And then, you know, like just be open to the idea that you might have to turn around. you go to the place you wanted to go hiking and you see it's like crowded, like you might just have to turn around and go at different times. So experiment with times. Go early, go late. But honestly, if you get there and if you are covered and you have your alcohol spray, wash your hands before you start, wash it immediately when you get home, and be super conscientious of how often you're touching your face, then you should be pretty safe in the outdoors.
A lot of this comes down to your comfort level, looking out for other people and following local rules. Here's Katie Bouet again to share what she does before she heads out.
Because I'm in Salt Lake City, I have kind of this designated area that I feel comfortable recreating in. And anytime that I go out, I check for the county, I check the specific land that I'm going to. So whether it's National Forest, BLM land, checking to see directly with that agency. I usually check the website. If I'm unsure, I call. And if it's someplace that you are not very familiar with, I would definitely recommend calling, because the rangers there are able to give you the most up-to-date information. And they might give you some insights too. You know, a place might be closed, but if you are kind and compassionate to a ranger, they might give you the inside scoop on when it's going to be reopening.
Angela Howe of Surf Rider Foundation explains that the same kind of preparation goes for beaches, and that there actually might be particular rules in place, especially if they're doing a phased approach to reopening.
Know if the beach is open before you go and the closures. So research that and then know when it's open and what you have to be doing. Sometimes it's keep it moving, which means you can't put a towel and an umbrella on the beach. It's only for active exercise, running, active walking, surfing, and other things where you wouldn't be stationary.
The more you know before you go, the more likely you are to have an enjoyable time on the beach or on the trail.
You don't want to miss bringing a first aid kit or something super important because you're packing like a spray Lysol can into your backpack. You don't want to do that.
If you're anxious about crowding and COVID-19, kind of like my sister was, it's easy to forget to pack the essentials, like a map, water, and first aid kit. Here's Nadia Mercado's tips.
I don't necessarily know how like most folks pack for their hiking trips, but usually the way I do it is I lay out everything in front of me first before packing my pack, because I feel like when I pack my pack and I don't have everything laid off in front of me, I don't always know fully what I brought, and I feel like that's how I miss things. Lay out everything on the floor in front of you, like these are things that I need, these are things that I want but I may not necessarily need. Then you can start making trade-offs of what you want to bring as protective equipment for you and others, along with the important things that you need in order to hike and stay safe.
Both face masks and hand sanitizer are new additions to the essentials you need when you go outdoors. They're key to protect yourself and others, because you could have COVID-19 and be asymptomatic. Favia backed up both with research. In terms of any guidance that you've read about spending time outside recreating, what do you feel confident in?
So I definitely feel confident in hand hygiene. That is not argued. Really? I know it's difficult when you're outside to wash your hands with soap and water. And then particularly if you are a climber, washing your hands so frequently can lead to dermatitis and other issues and can lead to cracking. You don't really want little like small holes in your skin or like the virus and things. And just for climbing, like that just hurts. So I recommend like when you're out, try to carry hand sanitizer, like alcohol-based. And today I actually read up to see what percentage is ideal. You want it around 70%. Evidently, if the concentration is around like 90% or higher, then that actually takes a longer time to kill viruses. But below 50% is not strong enough. I mean, but hand sanitizer is better than no hand sanitizer. So bring your hand sanitizer out. And I also know that masks have been a big controversy.
I just want to emphasize quickly here that Favia is referring to homemade masks, not N95s, as being controversial.
I've read papers that say they block, like the homemade masks, they block, you know, a big percentage of the virus. Then I've read other ones that say they barely protect you at all. But I think the best thing for people to do if they are going to be around people, you know, on a popular hiking trail where you're going to pass people who are breathing hard, people who are biking, people who are running, who are, you know, expelling their breath at a, you know, a harder rate, would be to wear some sort of protection. There are certain materials that have antiviral heavy metals in it. So like copper, zinc, these are heavy metals that can help protect against viruses. And there's various companies out there that create multi-layered masks. But in my reading today, it was also very important that, to know that your mask needs to be breathable. So if your mask becomes wet with sweat, with saliva, with, you know, you're drinking water and you spill it, then that creates an unsafe environment.
Of course, a face mask is useless if you're not wearing it properly. Nadia has some pretty strong feelings about this. Also, a little background that'll make sense in a minute. Nadia is saving up to build a climbing wall at her house. Yeah, let's talk about how to properly wear a mask. That's something that you're passionate about because you've seen a lot of people not wearing masks properly.
Gail, if I had a dollar for every time I saw someone not wearing a mask right, I'd have my new climbing wall up by now. I'd have all the holds. I'd have those nice so-ill holds that are beautiful but really expensive. I'd have them if I had a dollar for every time I saw someone with a mask on. The way we need to wear masks is we need to have it cover our nose and our mouth at the same time. So you can't have your nose out and you can't have your mouth out, but your nose covered. It doesn't work that way. You have to have your nose and your mouth covered at the same time. I know it's very hard for folks that have glasses. As a fellow glasses wearer, I feel you. The best way to prevent glasses fog is by really sealing in the gap between your nose, the bridge of your nose and your mask. If you have Band-Aids at your house, even though it doesn't look the best, have some Band-Aids kind of seal that gap in, and that will help prevent your glasses from fogging. But if you are not covering both your nose and your mouth, your mask is essentially obsolete. Because if your nose is out, you're breathing in all of those particles that the community has in the air. If you have your mouth out or your nose out and you sneeze or just breathing, like, your particles are also still going out into the air. So it's essentially obsolete.
Both Favia and Nadia agree that you don't have to wear a mask all the time when you're recreating outdoors, just when you're close to other people.
Personally, I would say, you know, if you're in a crowded area with, I've been climbing kind of like on top of a hill away from people, but I could have a good view of the trail. And I've seen a lot of people, our trails have been pretty crowded. In that situation, I would advise wearing a mask until you can get out into, you know, a more wilderness area where you don't see people, because trails are kind of narrow and it's, you know, hard to get off the trail. So until you don't see people, you know, every minute or so, I would wear some sort of protection.
So one of the questions that came up from listeners, and you kind of alluded to it, was that if someone is breathing heavily or forcefully breathing, which happens when you might be bicycling really hard or trail running or hiking up a steep section, do you need to maintain distance? Is it recommended to maintain a distance of more than 6 feet? Like, if you happen to be around people or you yourself are breathing heavily?
So there was a study done in Belgium where they tried to look at this with running and biking, and they had someone like running in the front, and then they had models, so not actual like people, but and then how far did the person behind them have to be to avoid that person's respiratory transmissions, and their recommendations were quite far, like 65 feet if someone's bicycling. Ooh. I don't know exactly how accurate that is, but I would say in general, I would stay further away from someone who is breathing heavily.
Again, though, the particles are being dispersed by the wind, so it's inconclusive. Make sure you wear a mask when you see people and give them as wide a space as possible.
15 feet really is the new 6 feet.
We'll talk about crowding, staying local, risk-taking, and more after this. We prioritize nourishing and protecting our skin outdoors, which is why we love Peak Sense, a female-founded skincare company created for people who thrive outside. Peak Sense has been making gentle, plant-based skincare products since 1993 to help everyone look and feel their best, indoors and out. At Peak Sense, they believe in the powerful combination of plants and antioxidants to help keep your skin radiant and protected against the elements. Their diverse product line of serums, salves, balms, and cleansers is responsibly sourced, and they never use chemical preservatives or emulsifiers, fragrances, or alcohol. Stay tuned this summer. We'll get to learn from Peak Sense founder Deanne Tracy, as well as share our own experiences with products for outdoor lovers, like their Power Repair series and the Restorative Organic Rose Phyto line. Get 20% off your first purchase by heading to peaksense.com and using code EXPLORE20 at checkout. That's PEAKSCENTS.com and code EXPLORE20 at checkout to get 20% off your first purchase of any Peak Sense plant-based skincare products. Amidst the stress of a pandemic and without the coping mechanisms you might typically turn to, there's a lot that could be interfering with your happiness and overall mental health these days. That's where BetterHelp comes in. You can start communicating with a licensed professional therapist in under 24 hours. Send a message to your counselor anytime and schedule weekly phone or video sessions. So when there's so much that you can't control in life, BetterHelp is an affordable, convenient way to talk to a professional counselor who specializes in whatever might be on your mind, be it anger, family conflicts, LGBTQ matters, grief, or more. I myself connected with a therapist to find better coping mechanisms for my own anxiety and depression. It felt good to have someone impartial to talk to. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/explore. Join over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/explore. We're back. Here's Katie Bouet.
The whole pandemic has really accelerated that conversation that we've been having for so long of, can we love places to death? How much recreation is too much recreation? Is such a great thing? Like, is there such thing as too much of a good thing? And I think it's really interesting to navigate and figure out how we get through this together compassionately, but directly. Like, how do we hold each other accountable and capable, but do it in a way where we come out on the other side stronger and better together?
I put a survey out to listeners and Instagram followers before this episode came out and asked you about your biggest concerns for heading outside amidst the pandemic. Overwhelmingly, you're worried about crowds, which is understandable, but also complicated. Here's Nadia.
You know, in the state of North Carolina, you're not supposed to be in a group of 10 people or more. And just in a health aspect, I'm scared of being in a crowd right now. Like when I went on that run and I saw 100 people running in that same area, I'm not going to lie, I was pretty scared the whole time. But it is a valid feeling to have, to be scared of being in a crowded area right now because of your health, because we are living in a pandemic. Now, you know, crowding is likely going to happen, but the whole idea that, you know, we don't want crowding because it's going to affect our experience of isolation and the outdoors, I guess I've never really shared in that feeling because I've always lived in a more urban area where I've spent more time partaking in the outdoors where there was a lot of people versus more desolate areas. Now that I backcountry hike and whatnot, I've experienced that. But for me, that's something novel. That's something new. So I could see how people would not feel comfortable with that and feel upset about it. But at the same time, you know, the outdoors doesn't belong to one person. the outdoors isn't here to serve one person and their recreation. The outdoors is here for us, and we're a part of it. And you know, if a crowd of people makes you upset because you don't feel like you're not getting the isolation that you were seeking, then you're gonna have to change your attitude about what the outdoors is and who people are, because it's not here to serve just you.
Just like we have to be considerate of others and our behavior, like our health behavior right now too.
Yes, I think the biggest lesson that I've learned from this pandemic is that we really just have to think about others. And it's not easy. You know, capitalism is built on this hyper individualistic mindset. And it's something that's been ingrained in us here in the United States for a very long time. We have this hyper individual like mindset that as long as we work really hard and we do what's needs to be done right, then we're going to live this wonderful life, this American dream. But when you start to really look at the world and open your eyes and be more mindful of the things that go on around you, you begin to realize that it's not just about you. It's about all the forces working around you that put you in this place right now. It's about the government and what they're doing around you. It's about your neighbors and your peers and your friends and how they're affecting you and how you're affecting them. And I think that this pandemic, sad as it is, it's definitely opened people's eyes to the fact that, you know, we're not lone people floating around in the world. Our actions really do affect other people.
The third Recreate Responsibly guideline is to stay local. The Women on the Road podcast will go into more detail on this one. Katie recommends sticking to destinations that you can get to and back with one gas tank. And again, don't plan for any additional stops. I talked about this from a beach perspective with Angela at Surfrider. So when you say stay local, is there like a suggested distance? I know that, for example, I live in New Hampshire and my partner is he's really into body surfing. And sometimes local, it could mean going to another state just because of like where we live near the seacoast. Mm-hmm. So what has Surfrider's stance been on what local means?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it actually brings up a lot of coastal equity and access issues. We've seen a lot of that as stay within 5 miles. So that's the, for instance, that we put in our guidance, our beach access guidance that was developed by our expert task force, which we published this last week on our coastal blog. So we put, for instance, within 5 miles. That's what we've heard, and that's what some coastal management experts have recommended. I think, you know, when you're talking about going to the beach, what's more important than perhaps that exact mileage distance is staying away from other people and having that physical distance and not going anywhere where it's crowded. So I think it is rational if you're saying, well, I might need to go to another state if this beach here is the only beach and it's very crowded. So I want to go a little bit farther to avoid those crowds, which is more important from a public health perspective.
In terms of the equity piece, is that's some people might have access to beaches like over other people, you're more likely to be more well off or something if you live closer to the beach? Is that piece of the equity access?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something we really delved into with our beach access expert task force. We actually had environmental justice experts, civil rights attorney who kind of know this space and know coastal equity. And it is, you know, I think especially in California and in Southern California, the coastal properties, especially ones where you can walk to the beach, are very expensive. And so if you're saying stay in your neighborhood and the beach is only for people in the neighborhood, then you're saying it's only for the rich. And I think that's a major issue. We don't want to say that. We want to have access for all. At the same time, you know, I was kind of surprised through this process and developing our guidance. We want to balance public health with equitable access and really have a science-based public health data that sets the priorities. And so when saying, well, everybody should be able to go to the beach, but everybody should also try to stay local, and stay within their own area, because that's what's going to help not spread COVID-19. Which of those priorities is more important right now? And our expert task force agreed it's actually the public health priority of staying close to home. And I think you see it on the flip side, because there are also these great tribal lands that are amazing for hiking and just different ways to get outside. And so by people traveling to go to these lands, it's actually impacting tribal communities. And, you know, we see this actually in there are parts of New York where the coastline has a minority population, and wealthy inlanders want to go travel. So it definitely cuts both ways. And for now, for this limited period of time, we do want to say prioritize public health, prioritize not traveling far for your recreation, and keeping the spread of the pandemic down.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that so much of this is about balance, you know, balancing risk, balancing care for others, balancing your own mental health. It's like an ongoing conversation.
Yeah, mental health is such a big part of it. And that's something that, you know, I picked up on. How could we not be able to go outside and go to our beaches? Because our beaches here in Southern California closed for a little bit. Because that's just what you need right now, is to relieve the stress caused by this pandemic and caused by homeschooling and work flaring up, but having to figure out how to do it at home and all of these things. I mean, it's like you need that refuge of getting outside.
Unless you're losing a limb or exsanguinating, there's a high likelihood that if you twist an ankle or break an arm, that you're going to have to sit in the waiting room for a couple of hours.
Whatever you love to do outdoors inherently contains some level of risk, and it adds another layer to spending time outside right now.
I think what people don't really know, unless they work in healthcare and unless they work in the emergency department, is that whenever a really sick trauma comes in, it takes several nurses in order to care for that patient. And oftentimes, nurses are leaving their patients in order to help this nurse take care of this more acute, sicker patient. So when you're requiring a higher level of care, sometimes people have to leave their patients behind in order to do that, unfortunately, because we don't have the staffing where there's nurses available to just jump in and not have to leave their patients. So when you're weighing in the risks, these are kind of things that you really need to think about. And as you move through the outdoors, these are things that you have to think about, just trying to be as safe as possible. If you're going climbing, you know, perhaps think about, you know, do I really want to do this hard project, or do I really want to put in this cam into this area right here that doesn't really look all that safe? These are all things that we need to consider, because getting hurt really does take up a lot of resources from the healthcare system if you need to go to the hospital. And right now, resources are running very low and hospitals all across the country.
Yeah, and the reality is that, like, no one ever goes into a hike or whatever they're going to do outside thinking they're going to have an accident. Like, that's why it's called an accident. So, like, you can do everything you can to mitigate the risks, but there's always that possibility if you're going to go and spend time, you know, in the backcountry or, you know, in the front country in a park or something like that.
I agree. It's always so hard. I'm a nurse and I think about that. I'm like, God, I really, you know, you can never really predict it. I just think really being mindful of the way you move is important.
Nadia underlines that this risk swings both ways.
Another thing that we have to consider when we're weighing in the risks of going outdoors, especially if we're going to backcountry areas or very rural areas, is the fact that if an emergency happens, we will not automatically be transferred to a big hospital or an area that's a level one trauma center. There's a high likelihood that the first point of contact that you're going to have is with a smaller rural hospital that may not have the same PPE or equipment that bigger, more metropolitan hospitals have. And that's something that you really need to consider before going outside. Kind of like what you were saying, accidents happen, we never plan for it, but it's important that we go outside with our protective equipment. That way, if something does happen to us, we could automatically, like, you know, if we twist an ankle or whatever, our partner or whoever it is, or even ourselves, we could throw our mask on really quickly in order to protect those who are going to be taking care of us, but also to protect the people who are working in those smaller hospitals who may not have the same amounts of PPE that big metropolitan hospitals have.
Just like my conversation with therapist Judith Sidora a couple of episodes back, a lot of these decisions we're making mean checking in with ourselves. How confident do we feel? And how will our actions impact others? Katie Boué said it well.
Remember, too, that just because we can doesn't necessarily mean we should.
More after this.
Solomon is encouraging women to celebrate the ways they are inherently beautiful in their own way. We are excited to join Solomon in their WMN campaign by chatting with some of their ambassadors we look up to for their beauty, including Laura, who hosts our sister podcast, Women on the Road. Thanks for chatting with me, Laura. Can you paint the picture for us of a time that you felt as radiant as you are while you were outdoors?
I think back to one day when I hiked the Bright Angel Trail. You hike down like 4,000 some feet and then you hike back up. And as I was hiking back up, I was utterly exhausted. But I realized as I was going uphill that it was a lot easier for me to travel uphill because I have such muscular legs. And I found myself feeling really thankful and overwhelmed, honestly, for having such strong, big legs that carry me up thousands and thousands of feet in a day. And it's something that I used to get down on myself a lot for. And now it's something that I love embracing because I know that it makes me strong.
I love that. Are there any Solomon products that you've been using and what do you love about them?
The women's outline shoe, which you can go running or hiking in. It's just a great all-around shoe for everyday adventures. And then I've also really loved the Sense Squirt. The first time that I got on a stand-up paddleboard and went on the water, I pulled on the Squirt over my bikini bottoms and I felt really strong and awesome and powerful wearing a skirt going down these rapids on a stand-up paddleboard.
Learn more about Solomon's wide range of shoes and apparel at solomon.com. That's SALOMON.com.
We're back. Just like we need to be prepared and respectful when we recreate during this pandemic, we also can't lose sight of the impact our presence has on the land and oceans. Here's Katie, then Nadia.
We have to be so good on Leave No Trace, really respecting the land and treading lightly because it's the least we could do right now because we're really not contributing back to these outdoor recreation economies that rely on us so much.
Nature is a part of us, but we're also privileged to be able to partake in nature and to be able to partake in this land. For the most part, most of us are colonizers in land that we are native to. You know, we live in this land and we're here because of the removal and genocide of the indigenous people who lived here before us. So I always think about the time that I spend outside as a privilege.
A big part of Surfrider's work is keeping beaches clean through community cleanups. So looking to the future, like looking out to the summer, how do you think that the Surfrider's beach cleanups will be affected by this?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, we actually have a new guideline coming out tomorrow about solo beach cleanups. Mm. So enabling that and then enabling potentially small group cleanups where local coastal regulations allow. So we absolutely recognize that this pandemic is hitting some places a lot harder than others. But on the flip side, it's also creating more litter. If you see the gloves, the PPE, gloves and masks kind of thrown away in beach, you know, streets and on beaches, which is crazy. So there is still this litter. There's no one picking up the litter. We, you know, we picked up hundreds of thousands of pounds of trash that no one is out there doing right now. We had 147 beach cleanups by mid-March, and then we stopped. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to enable our chapters and our members to get out there, but to do it in the right way. So we have a guidance for our chapters coming out tomorrow, actually.
Oh, that's great. I'll definitely include that as a link in the show notes, because in certain ways it feels like time has stopped, but like time hasn't stopped. There's so much that's still going on and so much that we still, you know, want to do as good stewards to the environment. So I'm glad that that resource is coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it actually, it bleeds into another issue area that Surfrider works on quite a bit, which is reduction of plastic pollution and reduction of single-use plastic pollution, encouraging reusables. The CDC actually just came out with a recommendation for restaurants to start using more single-use disposable foodware versus less, is what we always have been advocating for. So, you know, by more single-use, that's more beach litter and more plastic in our ocean when 8 million tons of plastic are entering our ocean every year. So that's something we're going to have to be grappling with and helping encourage restaurants to incorporate best practices for public health and safety. But also there's a way to do that by using reusables, which we've actually done as a society all along. But it really, I mean, the restaurant landscape is also changing quite a bit as well, and how they're running, you know, takeout only or closed down for the time being.
Oh, everything's so interconnected.
Yeah.
So we can still do good and advocate for more good when it comes to plastic pollution and leaving no trace. But Katie reminds us that we shouldn't be too hard on ourselves.
I think we have a lot of self-forgiving to do these days between feeling uncomfortable with picking up litter right now. I've also been going back to do pickup orders from my local coffee shop, which feels so good, of course, to support my local coffee shop. But no one's using reusables right now, so I'm using these plastic cups. So it's like this other space where I keep kind of having to be like, Katie, it's okay. You're just trying to get through this right now. You're doing the best you can. We are all doing the best we can. And as long as we're doing that, I think we have to have a lot of grace with ourselves and remember that there will be plenty of trash for us to pick up when it is safe. Commit to yourself now that when this is all over, you're going to sign up for a full trail day. We will repent for our lack of picking up trash right now.
As we alluded to earlier, there's a very real possibility that COVID-19 will never go away, or it will change shape and we'll still need to practice similar kinds of physical distancing. There's a chance that we'll still need to talk about what levels of risk we're willing to accept and what level of risk we're willing to put on other people. Part of this could mean a different design for parks. It could mean different ways of recreating. Yeah, it's interesting to think about like how this will change different types of sports and recreation and, you know, even trails. The trails that are designed in the future in city parks or in other places, I've read, might, you know, need to be wider than they are currently, because this is likely not the last time something like this will happen.
Or COVID might not go away, and so this might be our new normal. And yeah, it would. I've done a lot of dancing, like, you know, like one person steps to the side, another person steps off. We can't decide who's going to be off the trail. So, so yeah, wider trails, and you know, we might be climbing in mass, like in the gym, like that might be the new normal. So there's possibly a lot of changes in our future.
But no matter what, we really should be thinking about more people in our communities, and we shouldn't stop thinking about the importance of access, the importance for everyone to be able to enjoy our parks and our beaches and all the different places that we get outside and recreate. Angela from Surfrider has some thoughts from the beach perspective that we could apply to everywhere we get outside.
And I think going back to the coastal equity piece, you know, the pandemic is laying bare the social equity issues that have already been in place in our society. So how are we going to make sure that there's more open space in every community, more amenities and outside opportunities for every segment of the society to enjoy? And that's what's so glaringly obvious. There's not. And that's why some places get crowded and some places are left without an opportunity to get outside. And that's truly lamentable and something that I think we can fix in the long run in our society.
For now, this is it. A story with no ending, a graph with no equation, no fixed variables. The guidelines we talked about aren't fixed either. They're going to change depending on how many more people get sick. We could see rules tightened or loosened depending on where we live, too. In the meantime, it feels like the least we could do to all commit to being kind, to not shaming people for their choices, and to maybe even rejoice a little bit if you see someone else enjoying the outdoors in a way that feels safe to them. Because even with all these unknowns, I do know that that's what this podcast is all about. Celebrating our varied experiences outdoors and examining them through a critical but constructive lens. You might have noticed that I haven't been ending this podcast with my usual sign-off. I usually say right at the end, have fun out there. It seemed too contrary to how we've all been feeling. It even felt a little bit like bad advice. But I'm going to reinstate it this week because I do hope for that for you all in whatever shape it takes. One more thing before we wrap up. Nadia and I also chatted about the different ways we can support the medical community right now. She wrote a piece for melaninbasecamp.com that will be published soon. It's not out yet, but it's called, quote, Stop Calling Us Heroes, Seven Tangible Ways to Show Gratitude to Healthcare Workers. I don't want to spoil the piece before it goes live, but it's worth considering that Nadia is pretty darn angry right now about the state of the medical system in the U.S. It feels good that there are actionable steps that we can take to make a difference. Make sure to follow along with Melanin Base Camp on social media so you don't miss it. Thank you to Katie Bouet, Fabia Dubik, Angela Howe, and Nadia Mercado for chatting with me. There were a lot of resources mentioned this week. You can find them listed in the show notes. Thanks to our sponsors, Solomon, BetterHelp, and PeakSense. You can find She Explores on social media, our website, and wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find me on Instagram at Gail Straub. If you enjoy listening, there are different ways to support us. You can subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. And if you'd like to connect, join us in the She Explores podcast Facebook group. Music in this episode is by Lee Rosevere, Maiden, Swelling, and Kay Engel, using a Creative Commons Attributions license. Ads were read by Tori Duhame. She Explores is a production of Ravel Media, released Wednesdays. Until next week, have fun out there.